Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning, and good morning to you, Catherine Lanfer.
Good to be here, Adora.
Catherine is in for John Hockenberry, who was on the road for our series Power Trip, an in-depth look at the future of energy. And that's what we're doing here at the Takeaway this week. And we want to know, are you finding it easy to save energy, or is it just frustrating? Do you want to be energy efficient but tired of being preached to, or do you just want to know where to start? Tell us your stories at 8778-MY-TAKE or mytakeatthetakeaway.org. We will be answering your questions all week, along with our friend Gary Golden, who is joining us today. Good morning to you, Gary.
Good morning.
He's the editor of the blog, The Energy Roadmap, okay. And he'll be answering questions on thetakeaway.org.
All right, you two. When it comes to making decisions, it often seems like there are two kinds of people, right? We've all had the guy ahead of us at the coffee shop who's agonizing over whether his half-calf latte needs whipped cream. And then there are those people capable of a split-second decision that can save lives.
Please welcome the crew of U.S. Airways Flight 1549, who helped safely rescue 150 passengers on New York's Hudson River.
Ah, that's the Super Bowl last night. Okay, so which one are you? If you're thinking that maybe you make both kinds of decisions all the time, that's actually a good thing. We're here with neuroscientist Jonah Lehrer. He is the author of Proust Was a Neuroscientist, and he's here to talk about his new book, How We Decide. Hey, welcome back to the show, Jonah.
Thanks so much for having me.
Okay, I'd like to know what drew you to this topic.
It was my own pathological indecision in the supermarket, I'm afraid. I'm the guy ahead of you at the coffee store who can't decide if it's the Venti or the, you know, the other one.
Oh, man.
I'm the guy who would spend 10 minutes in the cereal aisle choosing between Honey Nut Cheerios or Apple Cinnamon Cheerios. So it was that very basic everyday failing that first got me interested in the subject.
What did we know about decision making that we didn't know before?
Well, I think for the first time we can break open the black box, as they say, and actually see inside the mind. So we're not just theorizing about how the mind works from the outside. We can actually look inside and see the different brain areas that are active when you're, say, choosing which coffee to get.
Okay, so let's say when you're in that cereal aisle and you can't figure out if you want Honey Nut Cheerios or Apple Cinnamon Cheerios, what part of your brain is blinking then?
Well, the problem is something scientists call paralysis by analysis.
That doesn't sound so scientific, Jonah. That sounds like common sense.
It also sounds pretty highfalutin for a serial decision. Yeah.
Well, that's what happens to me, I'm afraid. And this idea first came from the work of someone named Antonio Damasio, who he studied patients who, because of a traumatic brain injury, had lost the ability to experience emotion. So I think the old idea of human nature was that if you don't experience emotion, you should be perfectly rational. You should be some uber-rational creature who always chooses the right box of cereal in the morning. Instead, what he found was that these people became, like me, pathologically indecisive, that they would spend 5 hours choosing to use a blue pen or a black pen, or spend all day trying to figure out where to eat lunch. So this, for the first time, got scientists interested in the importance of our emotions in terms of making decisions, because these people had lost the ability to experience emotions, and that didn't leave them with, you know, the gift of pure rationality. Instead, it literally was a disease. It was a disease of decision making.
You know, whenever I hear any kind of discussion about making decisions, you can't help but think of Malcolm Gladwell's book Blink, which, you know, sort of gave us all permission to go with our gut. How would you fine tune his thesis?
Well, my book is definitely, you know, in part a celebration of gut instinct and a celebration of the emotional brain, but it's really about how the brain is like a Swiss Army knife. Your brain is stuffed full of different mental tools, and the key is knowing when to use these different tools. So in a sense, how we think should depend on what we're thinking about, but there are absolutely decisions that benefit from the emotional brain, and there are absolutely decisions that benefit from deliberate rational thought.
So what does it say if you're one of those people who makes very quick decisions versus one of those people who generally always is very indecisive?
Well, that would tend to suggest that you're more comfortable trusting your emotional brain if you rely on those gut decisions. And the emotional brain is a generic term that refers to this whole network of different brain areas, from the amygdala, which is largely responsible for the feeling of fear, to the insula, nucleus accumbens. So all these different brain areas, we refer to them as the emotional brain.
I love the
phrase. But these are brain areas we share with, mm-hmm. you know, rats, monkeys. These are, you know, very primitive, well-refined. And the good news is they've been perfected by evolution, so to speak. They don't make, you know, lots of generic mistakes, unlike the prefrontal cortex, which is a relatively new invention. So as I compared in the book, that's like Windows Vista. It's a software operating system that's been rushed to market. And so the end result is it's full of lots of bugs. So we have to be careful when we, you know, think.
Okay, here is the part that I love. You say that making the wrong decision, in other words, messing up, can be a good thing.
Absolutely. When you look at how our brain cells learn, and I'm talking in particular about dopamine brain cells, which are a crucial component of learning in the brain, they learn best by studying what they got wrong. So in a sense, they learn how to do right by studying past errors, studying past mistakes. And I think one thing I found, I talked to a bunch of experts from a soap opera director to a pro quarterback to a, you know, the world's best backgammon player, and what they all have in common is this obsession with studying their mistakes. So the soap opera director, he got home from a day's work, he puts in the tape, and he forces himself to find 30 mistakes in that day's tape. Most of these mistakes are so minor, no one else even notices. But he forces himself to make a list of all these past errors.
Okay, it sounds...
And that turns out to be a crucial component of learning.
It sounds like what you're saying is introspection is good.
Yes, in that case, introspection is very good. And I think one of the big takeaways... use the word of the hour in my book.
We like that. Okay, Jonah.
Is metacognition, is thinking about thinking. Given that our brain is stuffed full of these different tools, it's crucial that we learn how to think about how – think about thinking. And that's called metacognition.
All right. And I think we're going to have to wrap things up here, Jonah, but I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.